Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Sunday, April 7th, for your Monday morning delivery. It is fight week, so we're excited to sit down and talk some mixed martial arts with you for the next hour or so. We'll talk about some of the latest news, big stuff involving John Jones. And of course, come on, is there really anything else other than UFC 300 to talk about? Well, no disrespect to PFL. We'll go over their results. They kicked off their regular season with PFL 1. I think they were in San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken. A couple of nice big fights, big results for some fighters. You get them first-round stoppages, man. You're in a really, really nice spot going into the next set of regular season matchups. Maybe a little Man U Liverpool talk. Patricky Pitbull, Frady, we'll talk to him as well. Lots going on, so let's get to it. We'll be right back. All right, so what do you want to cover? You were telling me something before the show that WrestleMania, was it just today or did the whole weekend pop? Because they do back-to-back nights now, right?
It's two nights now, which kind of leaves the door open for one of them. You know them discussions, those arguments where, like, is a hot dog a sandwich? Those types of things where people just get heated.
Yeah.
There's a new one, which I feel like I have done a good job of instigating, and it's if you go to one night of WrestleMania but you don't go to the second, did you go to WrestleMania? Now it's two nights, George, so it's a little different than when we were growing up. So yeah,
so let's say you go,
and it was great.
Let's say you go, hey, they're coming to Vegas, you want to go? And I go, all right, you go, the ticket's 500. Does 500 give me into both nights, or is it 500? And then we go, and then I go, let's go tomorrow. You go, it's another 500.
Yeah, they're two different tickets.
Oh.
But here's my take. You got to go to both nights because this is what's going to happen. The main event of tonight was Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. If you went to night one but not night two, and you say, hey, man, I went to WrestleMania, whatever it was, 50. And I go, oh, man, was it crazy that Cody Rhodes fight? And you say, well, I didn't go that night. Did you go to WrestleMania? That doesn't really work, right? I think you have to go to both nights to say you went. To put it on your skin, on your wall, right?
Let's say you went yesterday. We'll pretend it's in Vegas. So you went last night. I think that was The Rock or whatever. But you didn't go today. You had something important. You just couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. Where were you last night then?
What do you mean?
You were just at a wrestling show at the Las Vegas Stadium? I mean, you had to have been somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Where were you?
I'm confused. Ask the question again.
You went to WrestleMania last night, Saturday, in Las Vegas. We'll pretend it was there this weekend.
Okay.
Today, you couldn't go.
Right.
You had a prior commitment. So you couldn't go both nights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then, let's say mom goes, hey, I tried to call you yesterday, and I couldn't get a hold of you. Where were you? What would you tell her?
I'd say I was at WrestleMania.
Then I guess you did go to WrestleMania.
But if I didn't experience half of it, did I really go?
Well, it'd be like if me and you had gone to the Man United Liverpool game and left at half. We went to a half, I guess, but we were still at the game. But yeah, I guess. I don't know.
If I'm on the other side and I'm arguing, I would say something, even though this still doesn't make sense, but let's say we went to the World Cup in Germany. We didn't go to every game, but we went, right? But that's different. You're watching games. That's just different. You know, March Madness and all that. Nobody expects you to go to every single game. But mm-hmm. I think if you're going to tell people, I went to WrestleMania, you have to be able to say, I saw everything that was part of WrestleMania. If you want to put that skin on your wall, I think you have to go to both nights.
If you've never done one before?
Otherwise, you got to say, I went to night one of WrestleMania, or I went to night two of WrestleMania. But you can't just say, I went to WrestleMania.
I think you'd have to say, I went to night one of WrestleMania in 2024.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a good one. It makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I went to. How many have I been to? Just one?
You've been to a Royal Rumble and a WrestleMania.
Okay. So I need actually a SummerSlam? Been to
two Royal Rumbles.
Does that exist still, SummerSlam?
Yeah, and Survivor Series.
And that completes the whatever it's called?
I think so, the Big Four.
Or some foursome or something like that.
Yeah.
And did the Japanese fighter, or sorry, driver, was he the one that got wrecked in the Grand Prix or the Formula One?
No. His partner, his teammate, Daniel Ricciardo was.
Oh, the Australian guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Who won, Verstappen?
Verstappen won this one. So now...
And last week, Perez won? Because Verstappen didn't finish, no, right?
Last week, Sainz won.
Oh, Sainz, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Sainz is from Spain, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Ferrari.
All right. A few more things, and then we'll what'd you think of Man U and Liverpool?
I didn't watch it.
Oh. Do you know anything?
I know the result.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I know that we were up 2-1.
Dude, let me tell you something. I can show you. This ticket wouldn't have been that much. But you remember when they almost won last week?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't it 0-0, and then they put a goal in at the last minute, and then they tied, right?
You're talking about the week where they ended up losing by 2 to top it off.
Was that the Chelsea?
Yeah, Chelsea.
Hang on a second. I want to get this right because these motherfuckers have cost me about $800 or $900 and all of it in literally the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I want to tell the story right. Okay. No, it was Brentford versus Man United. And Man United scored in the 90th minute. It was Mason Mount, 90th minute with 6 in the injury time. And then Brentford scored 90th minute, 9 injury. So that tied. So I could have won 1-0, and I would have won like a $500 parlay that day. Mm-hmm. Then midweek with Chelsea, they were up 3-2. Remember, Garnacho scored in the 34th, Fernandez in the 39th, Garnacho in the 67th. These two guys, I mean, Chelsea scored 2 goals in the 90th minute, injury time, minute number 10 and minute number 11. So literally through all 90 minutes and 9 minutes of injury time, I was winning, and that one would have been about 300. So between the 500 and the 300, it was in the 800 or 900 range. And then today, I think I would have scooped up 100 off them winning against Liverpool. And then close to the 90th minute, Juan Bissaka got that penalty, which was kind of a lazy penalty. He did make contact, but that guy fell like he just ran over a landmine. And the whole game, the referee is just watching assault and battery and not calling anything. And then over here, he calls it because it's in the box. It, by definition, it probably was that. But it looks so weak, the contact.
Somebody told me today, I was having a conversation with someone about this, and they said, I don't know how week to week you can sit there and survive 20 to 25 shots being taken at your goal. You let have a heart attack. And I was trying to tell him, I'm like, you don't know what it's like to have a 2-0 lead and it means shit. Almost to the point where you're like, I know this is going to be erased, and I know we need to at least score 3 or 4 if we want to win this game. That is a ridiculous feeling. That's like going up by 20 in basketball and going, eh, it don't matter. You know, or being up 21 in football. And it happens week after week after week.
Yeah, I was trying to tell Dean, who's also a Man U fan, I'm like, dude, when they're winning and it's almost the end of the game, I have this euphoria. I'm so happy. I'm like, yes, this is going to be a great day because this shit happens at 7 a.m., 4 a.m., 9 a.m. And then when it doesn't come through, I'm just like, oh, man, like it takes me a while to shake it. And I don't get that feeling from the Niners, the Lakers, the Trojans. I still root for those teams. I love those teams, the Vegas Golden Knights or whatever. But right now it's just the Man U's kind of my favorite team to kind of root for, I think. It switches around. I mean, it was the Niner run was kind of fun. And when we went to that one Dodger game, that was pretty cool. And Lakers sometimes get on decent runs as well. But right now, I don't know, man. These guys, I'm a glutton for punishment by these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, geez, 10 minutes in, we've yet to talk about UFC 300. And guess what? We're not going to. Let's get the PFL results out of the way, and then it's all about that. Dude, guys, our lives, this is what we got headed your way. We got a 90-minute spinning back click show tomorrow. So whether this gets produced in time for you to catch it live, because it's every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, you can always go to the YouTube page, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo, and you can just watch it at your convenience. You don't have to watch it live, but again, Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live every Monday, except for tomorrow. We start early, 30 minutes early. That's all we're going to talk about is UFC 300. That's why we're going to talk about John Jones and the bullshit he's gotten into on this show, right? And then we got a watch-along for the whole event on Saturday that starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Thursday will be a lot of UFC 300. So just bear us here for a few more minutes and then we'll get to it. It's all about this.
Oh, we gotta talk a little bit about what happened this weekend though, right? At least
what happened. Oh, yeah, yeah. Curtis and Allen.
Yeah, we gotta touch a little
bit. Yeah. No, of course. Well, we'll talk about that and then yeah, we'll start. I guess turning the page to the UFC. So this is the wrong one. I was gonna say Impa Kasanganai and Alex Polizzi. So I hit the wrong one. Here it is. In San Antonio, Texas, at the Boeing Center, main event, Valentin Moldavsky defeats Ante Delija. And he finished him, so he gets 6 points because he finished him round. Huge, huge win for Moldavsky here because it gets you 6 points. I'm not saying you can cruise in your next fight, but just win and you got nine. You know, you can play it safe a little bit. Dennis Goltsov defeated Linton Vassell. That kind of bummed me out. I thought Vassell would flourish over at PFL. Liz Carmouche beats Juliana Velasquez for the third time. Dakota Dicheva defeated Lisa Malden, mauled her in the first round. Daniel James comes up big against Marcelo Gomes. Sergey defeated Blagoy Ivanov. Tyla Santos comes over from the UFC. She defeats Ilara Joanne. Oleg Popov defeats Steve Mowry. Kana Watanabe defeats Shanna Young. Jenna Bishop defeats Chelsea Hackick. Dimitri Ivey defeats Lucas Brennan. Bryce Meredith defeats Ty Johnson. Goes, you remember Chris Brennan, the West Side Strangler? He was from the area of Mission Viejo or whatever. Do you remember that name back in the day? King of the Cage and all that?
Yeah,
this is his son, Lucas Brennan. Mm-hmm. He just took his first loss, though, unfortunately. But did you catch this whole card? And what did you think?
I was entertained, and I think PFL addressed the pacing a little bit. But there were still times where, damn, man, like from the time the fight ends to the time the scores actually get read, it was a really long time. It was entertaining, though. I was okay with it. And this was a day where it kind of led into, well, what else was going on that day? Something else. Thursday. What else was going on Thursday? There was like another event, either right
before. I know the Dodgers broomed the Giants this week.
Something. There was something else. But anyways, it was a long day. And Manchester United. It was Manchester United. But I enjoyed it. And, the fact that some of it is still a little PFL versus Bellator kind of makes it even a little bit more interesting. So I was okay with it. And I'm excited to see, what they got going on next week and then the week after.
I didn't even think about it, but I guess Moldovsky gets one for Bellator. Mm-hmm. And then Goltsov gets one for PFL.
Yeah.
And
Carmouche is Bellator versus Bellator.
Yeah. Golm. Who did Golm fought for the PFL? Right? Oh, no. He's been over at Bellator. So, okay. So that was Bellator versus Bellator. Yeah. I guess it wasn't too much of it, but I'll keep an eye on it. I'll keep an eye on it a little bit because PFL got waxed the first night, 4-1. But yeah, I was happy for Daniel James. I wanted to get to him and then Dakota Dicheva. She was really, really cool when we interviewed her, and her traffic did really well. And I imagine the PFL's hip to this. I'm not saying she's going to replace Kayla Harrison, but she maybe has a potential. She comes from a fighting family. Remember her mom, similar to Valentina Shevchenko, was also a kickboxing world champ. So mm-hmm. She's been bred for this. She's really pretty. She's a finisher. She's undefeated. You know, I could see her actually having a chance to maybe, you know, fill that gap, I guess.
Yeah, they're very aware of it. But this was an absolute mauling. You know, she did very, very well. And remember, she trains part-time at a gym that's just full of killers. Like, it's hard not to be good there. You're going to be exposed if you're not good. But she had a really good fight. And Daniel James, things were not looking good for him at one point. You know, he's kind of lucky he got out of there with that W. Definitely some things to address, but entertaining fight, you know, to see it go back and forth like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I mean, that's a Thursday event. This week's a Vegas Friday event. Do you think the PFL did the right thing of kind of piggybacking the UFC show, which kind of we knew 300 would be in Vegas? So do you kind of like that, I guess? You think that's a good strategy by the PFL, what they're doing this week?
Somebody asked me this in the middle of the week. And, yeah, I mean, I don't see how it can hurt. You know, especially just like the level of coaches and staff teams that are going to be in town, kind of elevate your game a little bit when you look into the crowd and you see some of these other fighters from other organizations and stuff, which I imagine a lot of them will be there. I think it was a good idea. I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. I wish I was going, honestly, because this is just a great fight week in Las Vegas. But I remember we went there and remember we had access where they, I mean, this isn't Goz and I, you know, flexing in any way, but we actually were in a suite. That's where media was allowed to be. And it was a great view. And it just kind of reminded me of the old WEC days or some Spike days for the UFC, their fight night cards. And if you recall, Goz, we kind of were almost in the rafters at first. And then I think we told them, hey, are we in the right spot? And they're like, what are you doing, you fools? You know, we were just kind of like in this one area where it looked like we were lighting guys or something like
that.
We
were next to like a cameraman or something, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, you're in the wrong spot. So I just remember thinking, okay, anytime PFL comes, that's just a fun show to catch because they have good acoustics when they go to Virgin, which is the former Hard Rock, or when they go to Palms. I forget what theirs was called. What was it called? The Palms Theater?
Pearl,
that's right. Yeah. So I've always kind of had a blast at those events. And then, of course, UFC 300, you can already tell there's going to be a lot of people in town. A few junkies are in town, not just our colleagues, but I think listeners. And that's pretty cool. You got any plans?
No, I've been kind of taking things day by day because of what's kind of going on, you know, where you're at with mom and then our dad and birthdays coming up. I'm kind of a little handcuffed. There's been a lot of people in town. It's literally been like day after day, somebody new is like, I'm here and let's do something. So I'm picking and choosing my battles. But I'd like to get to PFL on Friday, I think. Then the next day is like brutal because I have to do the pre-show with Farah. And then
straight into the other one?
Straight into the other. I'm going to be in a chair literally from about 1:30 to possibly 10 at night. And I can't leave it because I'm watching the stream. So, like, it's going to be brutal. So I don't know if I want to spend that much time the night before in a chair too. But
I wonder if I could host the first fight with Fada if I ask her to hang over.
And I mean, it allows her to
get a breather and take a leak, eat a quick burrito or something, and then while her and I talk, you know, you can be watching, making sure we're still online, and then boom, you can get into it or whatever. But yeah, I can't wait. I mean, we'll obviously probably not do this very often, all 12 fights. But dude, no fight sucks. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's an amazing card, an amazing week of combat sports, and you know, even if you count like tomorrow, the national championship, like sporting wise, this is a big week.
Mm-hmm.
Go Purdue.
Chris Curtis and Brendan Allen. Jeez, man. You know, I'll cut Chris some slack because he took the fight on late notice, and he definitely was more active than I've seen him in other fights. But I still felt like had he been more active, he would have won the fight despite tearing his hamstring at the end of round five. He's a really, really nice fella. I've seen him retire twice, and I think both were in person. So that his comeback story is pretty amazing. And, you know, like this was a, probably a dude that was ready to just say, okay, I'm done. Let me find a job and probably have nothing to do with MMA again. And instead, he gave himself another chance. And now look at him. For the last 5 years, he's been, you know, under a huge banner, the UFC in Vegas. So he's got the PI. He's got a new team in Extreme Couture. He came over from Dan Henderson's gym in Temecula. That's where Strickland was at as well. And he just really, really, you know, completely changed his life. But, I mean, he comes this close on some fights, goes. And, like I say, he was more active this time. But still, he just, he did a great job on the ground with Brendan Allen, who's a beast. And then when he got to the feet, there was just a couple times where if he had unleashed, he could have maybe stopped Allen or at least scored points instead of letting Allen score points. Because I think some of those rounds are close.
I can agree with some of that. Here, but here's the thing, and this is what I didn't know watching the fight, was he tore the hamstring in round five, and I think it's very clear when it happened, but he injured it in round two. And I think that's maybe what slowed him down a little bit, you know? Mm. So I can give him that pass, but I really enjoyed that main event, man. I thought it was fun, and it's to the point where I wouldn't mind, I'm not saying do it now, but I wouldn't mind seeing a third one.
I want him to win because he's Extreme Couture. He's nice. He's participated with Goz and I on silly videos that we've put out in the past. He's done a watch along with us. And I guess I always bet on him too. But like when you're that close, you're like, bro, you're just seconds away from 10-9 in this guy instead of him 10-9 in you. And that could be the difference if this motherfucker's 2-2 or whatever. And then you go back and look at MMA decisions and like, oh no, he could have, if he just would have done this, he would have done that. There's a few of those guys that do it. But again, took the fight on short notice. He's really a welterweight, just kind of on borrowed time at middleweight. But, you know, I'm not saying he'd be a world champion at welterweight, but you could tell he gives up size. But hopefully he's making good money, you know. The torn hamstring sounds a lot more awful than it is. You can come back from a torn hamstring, especially if you're not exploding like a DB or a center fielder or a point guard. You can come back from that a lot quicker than you would think.
I thought you meant like in the fight. I was going to say, yeah, it looked pretty painful to me.
Oh, no, no, no. It's painful for sure, but it's not like a debilitating injury. So let's say like, let's say Deebo Samuel in game one of the next season gets a torn hamstring. I wouldn't be like, oh, man, we're fucked. Like,
yeah,
he can come back in a reasonable amount of time in the regular season and be good. It sounds worse than it is.
But it's like a rib injury where
kind of
you're going to have this period where you feel like you're fine. But if you're not 100% sure, like in the NFL, right, if they say 8 weeks, but at round six, week six, you're like, man, I'm feeling pretty good. If you come back too soon, you re-injure it. You know, it's kind of like with a rib. You can't really tell exactly when it's healed. And there are people that just constantly do that. Sammy the Squid's always messing with his hamstrings, isn't he? Didn't he get shot?
Back in the day, back in the day. Yeah, it looked like a sniper caught him. But he, you know, if you're Usain Bolt, where you just have to explode for 100 meters, then yeah, that could keep you out a whole season, I suppose. But an MMA fighter, I think he'll be back sooner than later. And he didn't take damage, and that's good. When the fighters lose, you always wonder, okay, how much did this one take off you or whatever. But it bums me out, especially when I see Eric in the, you know, anytime he's working in the corner, I know he pours his heart into these guys. He wants to win. He wants to win for his guys. So what are you going to do? Solid main event, though. I think the fans, well, there weren't that many there, but the ones that were there got a kick out of it, you know? These fight night cards, they do get shit on, and I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but every once in a while, it does look like a cool place to be on a Saturday, just taking in fights. There's not a bad seed in that house or anything. Damon Jackson split decisioned Alexander Hernandez. It was close, because I thought he was up 2-0, but then Hernandez rocked him at the beginning of round three. Damon Jackson weathered the storm. He got a split. Hernandez, I think, on one card, won all three rounds. I thought that was way off.
Yeah, and it was funny, the look on his face when he saw that. He was like, what the fuck? But because I kind of had the similar face. But that fight was fun, man. They really hit each other hard, though.
You know, Morgan Charrier from France reminds me of Tyron Woodley early on. So he's really jacked, right? And he can punch hard, and he can wrestle or grapple or whatever. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was just walking through Shepe Mariscal, almost like, whatever it is you got, it ain't going to hurt me. And he got popped a few times. But I didn't disagree with the decision, and I bet Charrier. It was Mariscal just found a way to outgrind two rounds, close 10-9s, and then he got thumped a good 10-9 the other way. So Charrier could have almost blanked them and won all three, except there were just moments in the fight where Shepe got him, you know. So I can tell you this, I really enjoyed the fight, and what I liked about it was, with so many fighters that get thrown at us, it's hard to remember them all. But these two, remember when Proximo tells the Spaniard, win the crowd, you got to win the crowd somehow.
Yeah,
they won me over. I can't wait for the next time Shepe Mariscal fights, mm-hmm, or Morgan Charrier. Like, I'm going to remember them. They performed for me to remember them. There was a fight with Dumont and Jermaine Duranemi. I know who the hell both of them are, but man, I'm in no hurry to watch them again. Mm-hmm. That fight was so boring, dude.
You know, Nate Landwehr was really good at doing that. Winning over the crowd and making you remember him. Because you're right. It's, you know, what is it? 24 guys, 28 guys getting shuffled in week after week. You can't remember them all. Like, that's nuts. Even when you're like first day of class, you don't know everybody's name until like a week. And you're with them all day. Like, did these guys just get shuffled in for 15 minutes at a time? You're going to forget them. So you have to stand out. And he was really good at doing that. He's one of those guys that catches your attention. Jelton Almeida was another guy that kind of just grabs your attention right away. You're right. Winning over the crowd is it's such a big part of the game and so important now that managers really, really need to hit their fighters with that. Because it's a matter of, do you want to wait 8 fights to fight for a title or do you want to wait 5? You know? It can really come down to that. Look at Bo Nickel. Look how quickly Bo, now granted, Bo got a lot of help, but Bo also put in some work too. He answers questions really well. He conducts himself really well. He says the right things.
Yeah. I was going to say something. I just lost it. But regardless, well, hold on. Let me look at this one more time and see if it refreshes what I wanted to say. Remember, I think it had to do with remembering win over the crowd. So I'll see if I can come back to it or whatever. But let me go through some more results. So Mariscal gets that split decision. Ignacio Bahamondes, I'm going to remember who he was. He beat Christos Giagos. We've called one of Christos Giagos' fights, so he's always on my radar. Charlie Campbell, he's pretty exciting. And Trevor Peak isn't bad, But Charlie Campbell, man, he's just kind of a bigger version of Trevor Peak. So I'm going to keep an eye on Charlie Campbell. Alex Morano, he never disappoints. He beat Court McGee. I can't believe McGee's still doing this, man. He's like 39 years old. Mm-hmm. Lucas Bresky defeated Walter Walker, who's a brother of Johnny Walker. Then Dumont and Duranemi, man, that fight just, oh, that was painful. I've been so excited about Duranemi's return, but she just had no answer for the ground game. She just could not get off her back.
Walter Walker made that face that you don't like when they read the decision. And I wanted to grab him by his ears and go, bro, don't you understand that you were in a position where, like, this was a very close fight and you just didn't do enough? You know, you cannot have that face of what?
He was huffing and puffing early too, but he was tough and he gutted it till the end. And his hands seemed like they're heavy. Even if he's tired, every time he threw something, it was like, whoa, this guy still packed something. Yeah. But he just couldn't. He couldn't execute. He'd have dominance by having the position. He didn't damage enough when he was there. Duration, a little bit. But if you can do damage and not the other two, it's better than doing the other two and not damage. Well, at least as far as, like, you really secure the 10-9. The other one's more about securing the 10-8, which obviously means you're probably going to get at least get the 10-9. But the problem is, you can take me down 30 seconds into round one and keep me down there for 4 minutes. That means there's 30 seconds left in the fight. And let's say, yeah, you improved your position, right? And then maybe shrugged your shoulder at me or something like that. And maybe landed one forearm. But for the most times, I'm tying you up. And then all of a sudden, I either get back to my feet or the referee stands you up. And in that time, if I get a nice calf kick, a shot to the body, and a nice 1-2. I mean, just that alone can offset those 4 minutes. That's how important damage is.
For sure.
Yeah. And I guess maybe that's the only thing that allows the fighters to save face is just that look. Like, what? Are you crazy? You know, but no. Mm-hmm. Not only are we not crazy, we're moving on. Like, you can keep making your face, but we need you out of that cage, and two more dudes are going to come in here right now and they're going to fight. So that's it. Your time's up for the next 3 to 6 months. That was it. Your win bonus is gone. You are now going to face someone coming off a loss versus someone coming off a win. You're no longer defeated. You're probably not eligible for a bonus unless, you know, it happened to be fight of the night. So much comes down to that 10-9. Now, again, I'm not going to say you got to give it all you can because it looked like he did. He really was gassing. But you have to do more with that position when you get the takedown.
Yeah.
Those are the results. As far as the bonuses go, do they have them here? Let's see here. Who got the bonuses? Where's that? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Oh, good. Charrier and Mariscal, 50,000 each. Okay, that's not a bad way. That's not a bad consolation prize for Charrier. And then Bohemondes gets 50 for finishing Giagos. Almeida gets 50 for his win over Dylan Butka. Hey, Goz, one other thing here, since we've been jumping around from one topic to the next. How excited are you? Are you going to be wearing a Purdue sweatshirt tomorrow?
It's a really odd feeling, George. Of course I'm going to be cheering for him, but I don't know that it's going to hit me as hard because they're just such a good team. They're so hard to stop that, look, if Purdue pulls it off, great. I'm going to be really, really happy, but it's going to be tough. It really is.
You're watching the game, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it goes as a chance to win the March Madness pool. So root for him, because if Purdue wins, he gets it. If Connecticut wins, I think he might get his money back. So it's literally like a huge, huge swing for him. I guess you can privately ask him what it's worth to him if you want. But it's big for sure. I know it would make his day.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. You know, I'm going to watch it. Lately, maybe it's because I'm a little older now, but when I'm watching some of these games, these Manchester United games, I can get so mad, George, like a different level of mad that I feel like I shouldn't hit. And so now I've just tried to chill out a little bit more and just see if I can just enjoy sports a little bit more. But holy crap, man. Like, I want to throw controls through windows.
I want like Saeed, the Manchester United fan?
Oh, dude. During a Manchester United game, when they're just legending our goalkeeper and the text goes off or something, I want to go, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm so mad. Like, leave me alone. It's too much, man. It's too much.
Did you see that one time where he got so mad he started taking stuff down from his wall?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's a little too much. We got to work on that.
Yeah. All right. So we've talked about Formula One, March Madness, Liverpool, Manchester United. Let's now just do Patrycki Frady, the interview. He's got a huge fight coming up. He's with Bellator still. Well, no, he's in the PFL regular season. Mm-hmm. He'll be rocking the Bellator flag, I imagine. He's not part of their championship series or nothing else like his brother is, but he's fighting at PFL 2 2024 regular season against Clay Collard. Now, I'm looking forward to that fight. That one's going to be a good one. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Ghost checking in here. We got Patrycki Pitbull Frady on the hotline. His translator, Mateus, is also on standby. But Patrycki's English is pretty good, so we're going to try and make a go of it. He's fighting at PFL 2 2024 regular season in Las Vegas. So those of you, I know we have a big audience in California, in Las Vegas. Come out that weekend. It's a huge weekend with not just PFL. We got UFC. So a great, great weekend for combat sports. Patrycki, of course, part of the Bellator roster that comes over to PFL. He is now featured in this regular season in the lightweight division. Patrycki, we're excited to have you on the show and excited that you're part of PFL regular season. You got a huge fight coming up here in a few weeks. How are you doing now after the merger of Bellator to PFL?
I'm very excited, brother. I'm very excited. I'm very happy to fight in PFL and fight against different guys from Bellator.
Yep.
Like I told before, I fight like close to everybody in Bellator. So now it's different. I have new opponents, new challenges. And it's going to be great. I'm very excited to show how Pitbull beat. So let's go.
And, you know, Patrycki, you're fighting one of the more exciting fighters at PFL. Clay Collard puts on some great fights. A lot of them have gone his way. Is that a perfect matchup? Is that who you wanted to fight in the first matchup of the regular season?
Yes, for sure. I love fight against him. He loved to fight with the hands, me too. He loved to fight like a fireworks, me too. So it's gonna be great. Don't blink, guys. I'm very excited to show my power, to show how Patrick killed everybody. So let's go.
What convinced you to do the regular season? I believe a while back you were even thinking that you might be close to retiring. So how much longer do you want to fight?
I don't know. I just feel my body. If my body keep work very good, I can still there. I can't keep going fight. If I stop to show to my fans, like don't excited Patrycki, so I stop. But now I know I can do this. I can beat my opponents. I can finish my opponents. So I don't stop right now. And I keep hungry. I wanna keep fight this year. I don't know next year, but this year I'm very excited. I'm very happy to show my game in PFL.
Patrigi, so Clay Collard is the guy that has shown us before that he can get all the way to the finals. Do you feel like this isn't the only time you're going to face him this year, that you might probably face him again later?
It's crazy to think about this, because if I beat my opponent right now, he can go to the final with me. I don't know. Against me, I don't know. It's crazy, but I don't care. Don't care. I will beat everyone. I'm very excited. I'm very happy. Like I talked before, so let's go. I'm very excited.
Do you feel
when I feel happy, it's easy to finish my opponents.
Do you feel like he, aside from yourself, that he is the toughest other competitor in your group?
No, I don't think so. I believe they have more danger guys, like Primus and the Russian guy. I forgot the name right now, but these two guys is very, very strong guys, very strong fighters, and I believe these guys. I have two guys in the season. I don't know the game, but I think the both guys is undefeated. So let's go. Let's see what's happened.
Now, obviously, you and Patricio are brothers, and I don't know if you know this, but him and I are brothers. We're more like the Chihuahua brothers. We're not pit bulls. But I was curious, when your brother gets a win, can you carry his momentum as well? Like, does it, you know, kind of give you even more momentum going into your fights?
Yes, for sure. After his win, I'm very crazy. I'm very excited. I'm very happy and very motivated to fight and finish my opponent like that, like he do it.
Are you more nervous for your fights or your brother's fights?
My brother's fight. Yeah. 100%.
Why is that? Okay.
I don't know. I think because I can't beat the opponent. If I stay in my house to watch TV and saw my brother on TV, I'm very nervous. But if I go to there, is a little bit better, but I keep nervous. I prefer stay inside the cage, keep to inside the cage, going to inside the cage to fight. I don't feel the nervous. So,
you know, we've been covering you and your brother for many years. About 10 years ago, the Pitbull brothers were like, you know, in the hotel and in tents. Now you guys are more calm. Was it because you became family men, you started having kids, just a little bit, you know, more money? Like, you guys were really intense a long time ago. Now you guys are real chill.
No, I think it's because the experience, but don't play with us like a bad thing.
Pitbull still bites.
They say Pitbull is inside.
Because, you know, the other day, your brother and Jeremy Kennedy were facing off, and Kennedy was, you know, talking to him, and Pitbull or Patricio was just looking at him, right? But I was thinking, wow, this was 10 years ago. We would have had a shove. We would have had possibly a problem, you know, on the stage. But he played it real cool, and he did the talking the next day.
Yeah, I think it's because the experience and the calm, long time we fight. So long time ago, we don't have a lot of experience. We don't speak English very well. So little words, if the opponent speak, we think like a bad words. We don't know what he say. So
yeah,
we want to fight. He want to punch. He want to kick. But now he can make a good conversation.
I'd like to see you guys and the Diaz brothers in an elevator from floor 1 to floor 60 just to see what that conversation would be like. Maybe it's respect, or maybe one bad look and it's on in that.
No, element. No, we have a respect. We sometimes we take a picture together.
Oh, you guys have met?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Nick Diaz, when I fought against Josh Thompson,
mm-hmm.
He looked to me, what the fuck, brother? Do you have a rocks in your hand? You beat very hard, blah, blah, blah. And it's cool. He looked a nice guy.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Sometimes I think to train with him someday, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like his style. I like the style like Diaz brothers.
When did he tell you that? Before the fight?
After.
After, oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story.
I have a picture with the both brothers, and me and Patricio and Nogueira brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another, that's a lot of great combo brothers.
Yeah, was
the Hua brothers. Remember the Hua brothers as well? Ninja, a long time ago.
Yes.
Mauricio Shogun.
Yes. It's a big history between the brothers, right? So
Maybe one day you guys can take the Edwards. They're great brothers, great fighters, just like you guys.
Yes.
That would be a good one. The Emelianenkos, although I don't know. Alexander seems to get in a little bit of trouble sometimes.
Yeah, Fedor Emelianenko have a great, good respect with me and my brother all the time when he come to speak. Hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah.
Fedor?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Not too much words, but just hi, shake the hand, and
he doesn't say much. Yeah, he's a legend, though, man. And you guys are too. You guys have done some great work at Bellator. Now a fresh start in PFL. Your brother's already 1-0, and let's see if you can make it 1-0 in about a week or so. We're very close to your fight in Las Vegas. I'm in Peru, but I might be in Las Vegas next week. So maybe the Garcia brothers will take a picture with the Pitbull brothers.
Oh,
but nice. Anyway, I want to thank you so much for doing the interview today. We didn't even need Mateus. Your English is good, so do more. No disrespect to Mateus. He's a great translator, but you can do these, Patricky. You and your brother have confidence in your English. It's gotten a lot better. 10 years ago, no good, no bon.
No, nothing. Good. Zero.
Now it's really, really good.
Like
And Clay Collard, it's going to be a great fight, man. That guy has had a great fight with Pettis, Stevens, and a few other guys. So he's a good test. He's exciting, and that's why I think this is going to be possibly the best fight of the night.
Let's go. I'm ready to this.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Muito obrigado. And I don't know if you're still in Brazil or where you're at, but safe travels to Las Vegas and good luck at PFL 2 2024 against Clay Collard. Folks, you can watch the fights on ESPN+. It's April 12th. It's a Friday as opposed to this week's card, which is a Thursday. So keep an eye on that. We got you covered on MMA Junkie. Go to the schedule tab and you'll always see who's fighting, what time, what channels, things like that. But it's part of the ESPN family, so you're in good hands. Thank you, Patricky. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, so I think there's only one more bit of business, and then we'll talk a little bit about 300. John Jones, look, he's not behind bars, but it appears he did something dumb again, although there's a he said, she said deal. Like he said in his statement, he has not been arrested, but he has been accused of assault on a, what is it, DFSI, Drug Sport Free International, no, DSFI, yeah, DSFI agent. So that's the new sample collection team, right, that the UFC is working with. Not to be confused with these guys who used to do it for USADA. So it's almost the same deal that they're doing. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, doesn't look like they're doing as many tests as USADA has or whatever. I don't know too much about that, but they did on March 30th go to John Jones's house. Apparently, they woke him up.
He was having a birthday party either for himself or as one of his kids or something. And they just caught him in an agitated mood. And so the side of the collector is that he took her phone and threatened her and was cussing, and she was scared. However, I thought it was pretty admirable because when I read the whole story, she kind of calmed down after a minute after she realized that he wasn't going to obviously kill her, because he implied, you know what happens to people that break into my house or come into my house or something like that. But she knew, she felt comfortable enough to know that that wasn't going to happen, but also didn't want to leave. And I thought it was pretty interesting and admirable of her to go, I didn't want him to get in trouble by the UFC, you know, because when if the thing don't go smooth, it works like a strike against you. And then if you get three strikes, those three strikes count as a failed test. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, wow, through all that, she kept her cool and still looked out for the fighter. Now, the fighter is trying to get ahead of this, I guess, by saying what he said. He released some video from his house, and it shows basically a jovial end to the visit. I think I saw a high five or something like that. And so that kind of doesn't tell us much. Now, there is a third party, because it was two from the DSFI side. And I don't know if we'll see any other video footage, but what do you think of all this? Unpack it for us.
Well, I think the first thing you have to do, whenever it's he said, she said, or she said, he said, whatever you want to say, we've talked about this multiple times on this show. Every human being on this planet has a sort of credit report, right? How they've mm-hmm. conducted themselves until the point of the incident. And because John Jones has not conducted himself well in the past, it's harder for you to say innocent until proven guilty. You mm-hmm. lean more towards this knucklehead did it again, right? That's, you can't hate on people for having that opinion, because you put yourself in that situation. That's something that you just have to deal with. So for me, right away, that's the first thought that goes through my head is, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like, and then there's another side of me too that also thinks, like, look, there's right and there's wrong. And I can't really even think of a time in my life where I've gotten to the point, especially with a lady, where I would be screaming and yelling at her. That's just something I was brought up not to do. You know, I hardly do that with males. I'm not going to do that to a lady, make them feel uncomfortable, remind them that they're, like, she didn't break into the house, you know? She's not Catherine Zeta-Jones. She's not going through lasers to get in. So I don't know why you even say shit like that to her. Like, bro, you just got to find a way to chill out. Like, I don't know.
Well, she said she smelled alcohol on him.
Yeah.
So that's hasn't that been his downfall? He didn't even wrap a Bentley around a pole. Mm-hmm. And I know that he's had the alleged drug issues as well, but I think the incident involving the wife with the domestic abuse in Las Vegas, I think there was alcohol involved in that one. I think that's when he said, I'm just going to quit because I keep getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently he hasn't. He's rehabbing from a shoulder injury that's kept him out for a year now. Well, no, he hasn't fought in a year. He was getting ready to fight last November, and he got hurt somewhere in the September range. So that's about a good 6 months since that's gone down. But yeah, you're right. He has baggage. And so in the he said, she said side of things, I think most people are going to lean towards believing the other party. We'll see what comes out of this. It doesn't seem like he, according to her side, that he ever physically touched her or actually, you know, threatened her, other than implying, you know, what happens to other people that break in.
Well, he accidentally took her phone too, right?
No, well, I don't know if he accidentally did. I think she said he swiped it. He swiped it from her.
He said it was an accident, that he thought it was his phone or something like that.
Oh, nah. He had to know about that one. Yeah. There's not much to this other than I don't think there's much that's going to come out of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not right, you know, but I don't think much is going to come out of this. We have to report it because he's the biggest I want to say active in the sense that, yes, he hasn't fought in a year, but I think it's because of an injury, whereas McGregor went through the whole retired phase, and I don't know what phase he's in now, you know, contract stalls or whatever, because it seems like he's healthy and ready to go, but we just haven't had anything, any news regarding a fight.
But, George.
So, yeah, I think he's the biggest guy in our sport right now. Go ahead.
You're right. Maybe not a lot is going to come out of this, but I'll tell you what it does do. I think something does come out of it, and it's this. I have actually been kind of proud of John Jones, of how he's conducted himself as of late, how he's responded to questions, how he's responded being around Francis Ngannou face-to-face, things like that, where I think in the past it's gotten him in trouble. Mm-hmm. I've actually kind of appreciated the way he's handled himself enough where it's made me thought, wow, has he learned his lesson? Good for him. But when something like this pops up again, it almost brings you right back to zero. You're like, fuck, he did it again. Now he got me again. That's what it did. And it might do that for a lot of fans.
If you're a fan or supporter, proceed with caution, because he will let you down. That I'm completely pretty sure of. And I think DC has said so. Those are just the stripes. And you're not going to take them off him the same way you wouldn't take them off, what, who is it, the leopard, the tiger, whatever. That's just what he is.
A leopard. You know,
he's his own worst enemy. What's that?
Now, remember Uncle Leo used to say that on Seinfeld?
Oh. Yeah. But can he just, my whole thing is, because I don't know the guy, honestly, but can he just stay clean and finish his career? Like, he derails so much that affects the UFC that I can understand why sometimes when he's in the doghouse, Dana's like, this fucking guy, because goes, this guy has like a Michael Jordan, Tom Brady type of legacy in our sport. Two different weight classes now, being a world champ, no proper losses ever. Like, imagine if he didn't waste all that time on just the trouble he's gotten into. The outside, you know, the legal troubles, and then, you know, the picograms, nanograms, or whatever, and the walking away, and, you know, from one belt, like, he fucked up so much. He could be rich, be loved, and but instead, you know, we got to do interim titles, or strip him of a title, you know, like, it really is just. I don't know. I just want him. And right now he's tying things up because Dana really wants to match him up against Miocic. Although I think that's more on the Miocic's side. I don't know. Like, we have a guy in Tom Aspinall ready to go, you know, who could maybe be a nice world champion, a great representative of the UFC, a great world's baddest man on the planet. Since Ngannou doesn't want to seem to come back to MMA, you know, and Jones has only been up there one time at heavyweight. Like, maybe Tom Aspinall's ready to go, but this guy just clogs up so much space and time, and, you know, with these weight classes and these poor decisions.
Every single day that goes by makes that fight more and more ridiculous. Stipe Miocic and John Jones.
Yeah, I would tell John, where you at? 80, 90%? What's it? I mean, can we just book you and Aspinall in July and August? Let's just get it on the books, you know, because this guy's interim, you're undisputed. And then if you get past him, all right, then it's you against Miocic. But like, the Miocic fight, just it's not a well-earned title shot at this point. And I can say that and still tell you that there's a case to be made that Miocic is the greatest heavyweight ever. You can still say both things, you know, but I mean, he's like 4 years removed from a win and 3 years removed from a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So look, we obviously are going to talk about UFC 300 on tomorrow's Spinning Backlick. We're going to talk about it on Thursday. So I'm just going to ask Ghost some random questions and then we're going to get on out of here. It's not like we're going to break down the card or anything. And by the way, Dan Thompson put in some extra work this week. So he'll be breaking down a few fights. And we're going to have tons of coverage from, you know, UFC 300 fight week, so we don't feel like we're in any way shortchanging you. And Goz and I will be doing a watch along on Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, not 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific,
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, for the whole watch along. We're there for all of the fights. I think it's in total of 12 or 13, starting with Figueiredo and Garbrandt. It's going to be a fun time. Goes UFC 300. Is it the best card ever?
Going into it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into it on paper, yeah. That's the best card.
Did they need to do everything they did? Could they have grabbed three fights and just put those on 301 and 302? Like, did they need to do all this?
Maybe not three, but I can think of two fighters that could make an immediate impact. If you took Davidson Figueiredo off the card and Cody Garbrandt, they need a Brazilian fighter in Brazil, you know, something like that, I think would make sense. Three might hurt a lot, but yeah. It's really weird, George, because it is on paper one of the best cards ever. But I wouldn't say there's a fight on there that is the one that we've all been waiting for.
That was my next thing. Was, are we just like spoiled? Because think about it. When Pajeda comes out and then he does the old bow and arrow thing or whatever he does, and then Hill comes out and we know he's a KO machine. I mean, dude. This is a title fight, and both guys like to throw hands, and you just know someone's going to sleep. So it's going to be a nice way to cap off the evening. But yet, doesn't it feel like we walked into Morton's Steakhouse, but their best three steaks, like the tomahawk, oh, we ran out. The ribeye, yeah, we don't have any today, you know, whatever other cuts are there. So we're there, but it's like, you know, we just got there too late, you know, and they didn't plan well or something. I don't know, man. Like, and it sucks that I'm even saying this because, again, I was just thinking about the fight the other day. I was like, fuck, dude, that's a real badass fight. But it's just not getting the love that a UFC 300 card should get, a main event should get.
So I am okay with what you just said because I said something almost verbatim today, except I said it's like going to Magic Mountain and their top two roller coasters are closed. You're still going to have a blast. It's still going to be a great day, but it's going to feel a little different.
That's a good one too. Probably better than mine. Zhang Weili, I'm a fan of hers. I think she's a stud.
Yeah.
But I'm not that excited about her fight. In other words, even though I know she's a tank and she's probably going to run through Yan Zhonan, although I might be wrong. I don't know. Yan Zhonan's a specimen too. She's charming. She learns a little bit of English, but I'm not there on the whole. I don't know. I just think it's not a dud co-main event, but it's a bleh, like one of those. Whereas UFC 300, I thought the BMF would have been a great co-main event, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they do the undisputed titles later. But if that would have been the co-main event, I would have been happy with that. And then the main event, obviously. But for some reason, I think this fight might just slow the action down after the BMF. Title fight. And I guess I'm a little pissed still that Bo Nickel's on there. Like, big deal. Okay, so he's going to be a champ one day. Yeah, there's a good chance that may, in fact, but he's not there now. Like, and you didn't match him up against anyone that, you know, anybody thought much of. I tried to be as nice as I could in saying that because we just interviewed Cody Brundage. He could have been nicer, right? But that's not a UFC 300, that's not a main card quality fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still a little bitter about that.
It's funny because when you go back to like UFC 100, you're going to find John Jones on the undercard. And
yeah.
At the time, maybe that wasn't a big deal. But now it is, right? When you're going, is that a great card? You look back and you go, holy shit, John Jones is even on there? Maybe we do that with Bo Nickel. But I don't know. On these cards, I think you live for the now, not what it's going to be looked at in years. And right now, it's just kind of like, okay, cool, but I don't need this to be decided, you know? I don't need a big show to figure out who's better here. Like, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. Well, it's Saturday. It's going to be a big one out at the T-Mobile in Las Vegas. I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about all week, and we'll basically set our sights on all UFC 300 talk, unless John Jones does something again, or McGregor. But we'll probably be talking all about that on Thursday's show, second show of the week. Thank you all for tuning in. Catch us on Spinning Back Click every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with the exception of tomorrow. So that's April 8th is going to be a 90-minute show that starts at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. And the following week, on the 15th, that's also going to be a 90-minute show where we recap UFC 300, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Goes, you going to watch any of the Eclipse, by the way? Or not watch it, but are you going to walk out there at any time? You might not get a direct hit, but I think you'll feel something, right?
Supposedly, it's not supposed to be as visible here. There'll still be something, but when it's at its height, I think is when we're recording. So, you know, probably not, I guess.
I ordered some of those glasses, Eclipse glasses, like a week ago, and it was supposed to get there today. And it kept getting delayed, and it looks like it's not going to make it till tomorrow. So it was only $7. And I guess maybe we'll just have them ready for the next eclipse. But I figured you guys could use them. And it was one of those where, like, hey, you're $7 away from free shipping or some shit. So I just looked and looked and looked and looked. I go, all right, some of these stupid glasses. Folks, go out and be a champion. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in.